Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Piney Woods. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It's good to be with you here, Monday morning, March 21st. And we are actually officially in spring now. The solstice has passed us by. Or is it the equinox? It's the equinox, spring equinox. Solstices are summer and winter, equinoxes are spring and fall. Obviously, I need more coffee. Yeah, the solstice or the equinox has passed us by. We are in spring, which hopefully means it'll warm up. What is the weather going to be today? I'm going to have to check. Let's see. Today's weather, according to the weather app that I'm using, it's currently 30 degrees outside in the Piney Woods, heading for a high of 46. High of 65 come Wednesday. So it's going to be warming up all week. Thursday it's supposed to rain. And then Saturday we're back up in the high 60s. So definitely getting some spring weather here in the Piney Woods. Just a quick programming note for you. Both Wednesday and Friday's show this week are going to be pre-recorded. On Wednesday I am driving a group of students, one of the high school history classes, over to the airport in Spokane, where they are flying to Europe for a history trip to Europe that has been put off for a couple of years. So they've been wanting to do this for a while, and of course then COVID hit and they haven't been able to go. And I get to transport them, I get to transport them from here to there, where they will catch a plane to go all the way over there. And then on Friday, I have jury duty. So I've got to get up and out of the house early, so I won't be doing the podcast live on Friday. So you've got a pre-recorded episode on Wednesday and a pre-recorded episode on Friday, but we are live today, and it's good to be with you. Squirrel Chatter is a podcast that is dedicated primarily to the public reading of Scripture and then secondarily to my opinion on various topics of the day. And so we're glad to have you with us. Squirrel Chatter is part of the Christian podcast community. And Andrew Rappaport, who is the founder of the Christian podcast community, who always gives me a hard time for not promoting his podcasts. So this morning I want to direct you to Voice of Reason Radio, which is not Andrew's podcast, but Andrew was a guest host replacing Richard Story this past week, and it was actually a great discussion on the difference between Christianity and conservative politics. Well worth a listen. Good stuff there. Both Chris and Andrew had some very good thoughts on that topic. And I would point you to that because it's a timely discussion. It's well in need of being brought back to the mind. And this came up especially in light of the recent Dave Rubin gay marriage surrogate motherhood double baby thing with his boy husband. And so that's coming up. But that was a good discussion on that. I definitely point it towards you and would like to remind you that the most conservative thing in the world is biblical Christianity. And apart from biblical Christianity, there really is no true conservatism. You can be fiscally conservative and you can be all in favor of small government and stuff like that and be an atheist libertarian. And we could have the best economy and the freest culture, and apart from Christ, everybody in it would be damned and going to hell. So it is important to understand the difference between Christianity and conservative politics, and being a Republican does not necessarily mean you're godly, nor does it mean you're conservative, but that's a topic for another day. So head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. There's all sorts of curated podcasts. I think there are over 50 podcasts over there now. Obviously, I'm not familiar with all of them. I don't have time to listen to that. I think it was, what did Andrew say? There's like 30 or 40 hours of podcast produced every week for Christian Podcast Community. So there, you'll find something to listen to. There's going to be something over there that's worth your time and worth listening to. And as I said, today our Squirrel Chatter is dedicated to the public reading of Scripture, and our topic, our Scriptures today, you know, the 2 weeks off and the 2 weeks in California have kind of knocked me off my rhythm. I'm still trying to get back in. This is the fourth show since I've gotten back, and I'm still feeling like I'm half a step off. So please stay with me as I continue to move my way through this. All right. So our Scriptures today are Deuteronomy 6 through 9 and Luke 7. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Shepherd's Conference, and which was where I was a couple of weeks ago. Friday, I talked about the G3 Expository Preaching Workshop I attended. Today, we're going to talk about Shepherd's Conference itself. So let us begin then, as is our habit, by going to God with our prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now the prayer for our reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, and now Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, we are reading through the Legacy Standard Bible this year. We're going to read through the entire Bible. Today we are starting week 12, so we're moving right along. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your God has commanded me to teach you, that you may do it in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear Yahweh your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I am commanding you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you shall listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as phylacteries between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it will be, when Yahweh your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, great and good cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, you will eat and be satisfied. Then beware, lest you forget Yahweh who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Yahweh your God you shall fear, and him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not walk after other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. For Yahweh your God in the midst of you is a jealous God, lest the anger of Yahweh your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not put Yahweh your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of Yahweh your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of Yahweh, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which Yahweh swore to give to your fathers. By driving out all your enemies before you, as Yahweh has spoken. When your sons ask you in time to come, saying, "What do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which Yahweh our God commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and Yahweh brought us from Egypt with a strong hand. Moreover, Yahweh showed great and calamitous signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. But he brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our God for our good all our days, and for our survival as it is today. And it will be righteous for us if we are careful to do all that is commanded before Yahweh our God, just as he commanded us." Chapter 7. Then when Yahweh your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and he clears away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and stronger than you, and when Yahweh your God gives them over before you and you strike them down, then you shall devote them to destruction. You shall cut no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me, and they will serve other gods. Then the anger of Yahweh will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars and shatter their sacred pillars, and cut their ashram in pieces, and burn their graven images with fire. For you are a holy God to Yahweh, for a holy people to Yahweh your God. Yahweh your God has chosen you to be a people for his own treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Yahweh did not send his affection on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because Yahweh loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your fathers, Yahweh brought you out with a strong hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You shall know, therefore, that Yahweh your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their faces to make them perish. He will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and the statute and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Then it will be, because you listen to these judgments and keep them and do them, that Yahweh your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, and your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock, in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And Yahweh will take away from you all sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known, but he will give them to all who hate you. And you shall consume all the peoples whom Yahweh your God will give over to you. Your eyes shall not pity them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. If you should say in your heart, these nations are more numerous than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember that Yahweh your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw. The great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which Yahweh your God brought you out. So shall Yahweh your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, Yahweh your God will send the hornet against them until those who remain and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them, for Yahweh your God is in your midst, a great and fearsome God. And Yahweh your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, lest the wild beasts become too numerous for you. But Yahweh your God will give them over to you and will throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will give their kings into your hands so that you will make their name perish from under heaven. No man will be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods you are to burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to Yahweh your God. And you shall not bring an abomination into your house and become devoted to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is devoted to destruction. Chapter 8. The entire commandment that I am commanding you today you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what it was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you shall know in your heart that Yahweh your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. So you shall keep the commandment of Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Yahweh your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And so you shall eat and be satisfied, and you shall bless Yahweh your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware, lest you forget Yahweh your God by not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I am commanding you today, lest you eat and are satisfied and build good houses and live in them, and your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, and your heart becomes lifted up, and you forget Yahweh your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and fearsome wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand made me this wealth. And you shall remember Yahweh your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now it will be, if you ever forget Yahweh your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that Yahweh makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of Yahweh your God. Chapter 9. Hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations mightier and greater and mightier than you. great cities fortified to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? So you shall know today that it is Yahweh your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them, and he will subdue them before you, so that you may dispossess them and make them perish quickly, just as Yahweh has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart, when Yahweh your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness Yahweh has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that Yahweh is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going in to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of the nations that Yahweh your God is dispossessing them before you, in order to confirm the oath which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So you shall know it is not because of your righteousness that Yahweh your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked Yahweh your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you went out from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against Yahweh. Even at Horeb, you provoked Yahweh to wrath, and Yahweh was so angry with you that he would have destroyed you. When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which Yahweh had cut with you, then I remained on the mountain 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. And Yahweh gave me the two tablets of stone, written by the finger of God, and on them were all the words which Yahweh had spoken with you at the mountain, from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. Now it happened at the end of 40 days and nights that Yahweh gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then Yahweh said to me, "Arise, go down from here quickly, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them, and they have made a molten image for themselves." Yahweh spoke further to me, saying, "I have seen this people, and indeed they are a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their names from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and more numerous than they." So I turned and came down from the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I saw that you had indeed sinned against Yahweh your God. You had made for yourselves a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which Yahweh had commanded you. And I took hold of the two tablets and threw them from my hands and shattered them before your eyes. And I fell down before Yahweh as at the first 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and the wrath with which Yahweh was provoked against you in order to destroy you. But Yahweh listened to me that time also. And Yahweh was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. So I also prayed for Aaron at the same time. Now I took your sinful thing, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it, grinding it very small until it was as fine as dust. And I threw its dust into the brook that came down from the mountain. Again, at Taberah and at Massa and at Kibroth Hattaavah, you provoked Yahweh to wrath. When Yahweh sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, "Go up and possess the land which I have given you," then you rebelled against the command of Yahweh, your God. You did not believe him, and you did not listen to his voice. You have been rebellious against Yahweh from the day I knew you. So I fell down before Yahweh the 40 days and the 40 nights, which I did because Yahweh said he would destroy you. And I prayed to Yahweh, and said, "O Lord Yahweh, do not destroy your people, even your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a strong hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look at the stiff neck of this people, or at their wickedness or their sin, lest the land from which you brought us say, 'Because Yahweh was not able to bring them into the land which he had promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them out to put them to death in the wilderness.' Yet they are your people, even your inheritance, whom you have brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm. And now Luke chapter 7. When he had completed all his words in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion's slave, who was highly regarded by him, was sick and about to die. Now when he had heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders, asking him to come and to save the life of his slave. And when they came to Jesus, they were earnestly pleading with him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation. It is he who has built us our synagogue." Now Jesus was going on his way with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not good enough for you to come under my roof. For this reason I do not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him, and he turned to the crowd that was following him and said, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. And it happened that soon afterward, he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now as he approached the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a sizable crowd from the city was following her. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not cry." And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. And fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report concerning him went out all over Judea and in all the surrounding district. And the disciples of John reported to him all these things. Summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for someone else?" When the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for someone else?'" At that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he granted sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." And when the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft garments? Behold, those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and even more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And when all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the scholars of the law rejected God's purpose for them, for themselves, not having been baptized by John. "To what then shall I compare the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, who say, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children." Now one of the Pharisees was asking him to eat with him, And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, crying, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, saying, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he graciously forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the word of our Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Well, our topic of today is the ShepCon review. As I said, Friday I talked about the G3 Expository Preaching Workshop, which I highly recommend. If you are a preacher of the Word and you have time to attend one of these, if you have the opportunity to attend one of these workshops, I would greatly encourage you to do so. It will be of great profit to you, whether you are a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or just any teacher of the Word, to go through this process of learning how to properly exegete the Scriptures. A lot of it, you know, I was a pastor for 15 years, preaching expositionally through the Word, and when I started pastoring, expository preaching was kind of brand new to me, and so I've been working on this for almost two decades now, and even then, it was just very helpful. A lot of it was review. A lot of it was stuff I already knew, but it was good to go back through it again. And as Tom Buck says, for many of us, it was just sharpening the axe. If you sharpen the axe, you're able to chop the wood better. And so it was helpful in that regard. So if you have a chance to attend one of those G3 expository preaching workshops, I would encourage you to do so. So what is Shepherd's Conference? Monday and Tuesday was the G3 workshop. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday was Shepherd's Conference. Actually, technically, it runs through Sunday. The morning service at Grace on Sunday is the official end of Shepherd's Conference. Shepherd's Conference is Grace Community Church's pastor's conference. It's that simple. I think there were 4,000 or more men there. I'm not sure. They seem to have reduced the size this year. In recent years, we've had color codes that allow you into certain sessions. You can go into the worship center. The rest of the time, you have to watch it from an overflow room. But I think they reduced the numbers so that everyone who pre-registered could be in the worship center. So I think there was like 3,500 pre-registrations allowed, which is, I believe, the seating capacity of the worship center, so that everyone who pre-registered could sit in the worship center itself. And then the people that were walk-ups, they had an overflow area for them. So that was a change from recent years. So I do believe they had reduced the number of attendees to allow that, which was actually kind of nice. Grace Church has been doing Shepherd's Conferences for 48 years. John MacArthur has been pastor at Grace Church for 53 years. So they started this in his fifth year as pastor at Grace Community Church. And they have been doing it every year. And I have to tell you, it is one of the biggest blessings that a pastor can receive. If you have an opportunity to, if you are a pastor and you have not attended a Shepherd's Conference, I would urge you to do so. If you are a church member, work with the leadership of your church to send your pastor to a Shepherd's Conference. It will be a blessing to him and it will be a blessing to you as you bless your pastor. I first attended Shepherd's Conference in 2011. So 11 years ago was the first time I got to go. And in that 11 years, I have attended 9 Shepherd's Conferences. Now, I missed 2012. I missed 2020. And there wasn't a Shepherd's Conference in 2021 because of the COVID restrictions. And I've kept all my conference badges. I have a pile of them here on a chair behind me. I was looking through them this morning. And yes, since 2015, I'm going to grab this most recent one. Here is the most recent one, and I will hold it up so you can see if I can angle it so the camera can pick it up. I have a lot of bright lights in here. I don't know if you can read that or not. Let me see if I can get it close, if that helps. That doesn't help at all. It just whites out. Anyway, my conference credentials do indeed say squirrel from the piney woods. Since 2015, my conference credentials have said squirrel from the piney woods. So that always gets a laugh. Everybody always sees that and giggles at it. And so I'm happy to do that and share it with you. So of the 9 conferences I've been to, I have 6 squirrel badges. Now I'm not going to go through every message that was preached. I missed 2 of the keynotes this year. Let's see, the speakers this year were, of course, John MacArthur, the big ones, John MacArthur, Steve Lawson, Vody Bachum, Phil Johnson, Mike Riccardi, H.B. Charles, who else? Austin Duncan. I'm doing this off the top of my head, not trying to go through the list. I know there was somebody else. I'm missing somebody. But anyway, great keynotes. I did miss 2 of them. I did not hear H.B. Charles on Thursday evening because a group of us were invited over to Anthony Forsyth's house for dinner. His wife graciously made us just what I have been informed was cottage pie, not shepherd's pie. If it was shepherd's pie, it would have been mutton. But because it was cottage pie, it was beef. But, oh, it was good. It was a delicious dinner that she put together. I think he informed her that morning that they were having a dinner party that night. And she graciously put that together. And there was a large group of us there that got together. And I have not laughed that hard in a long time. So I look forward to when the messages get posted to the Shepherd's Conference website. I do look forward to listening to H.B. Charles's message because I missed that. And when the messages are posted, two that I would say don't miss Austin Duncan's message. I thought it was fabulous. And don't miss Vody Bachum's. Oh, powerful stuff. But I did miss H.B. Charles. I also miss Steve Lawson, which Steve is one of my favorite preachers. And it would take a lot to get me to miss sitting there under his teaching. But that was the only opportunity. He spoke on Friday afternoon. And that was the only opportunity that I had had all week to catch up with my friend Han Cho. And so Han and I were eating ice cream together and talking while Steve was was preaching. So I'm looking forward to listening to that too. But great time at Shepherd's Conference. It's just an amazing time. For a good discussion regarding each of the keynote messages, I'm not going to go through all of them, but check out Chris Huff and Chris Honholz's review. I'll link that in the show notes. They shared a hotel room. Chris Honholz is, of course, one of the co-hosts of Voice of Reason Radio, and Chris Huff is a host of Matter of Theology podcast, both of which are found on the Christian Podcast Community, I might add. And they shared a hotel room, and Friday night after the conference ended, they sat down in their hotel room with a microphone between them, and they discussed the conference for 3 hours. And I need to go back and listen to it again, because I know I missed a lot. That would be a good review, and I will link that in the show notes. But the most amazing thing about Shepherd's Conference to me, the messages are great. The preaching is fabulous. And for years before I went, I would watch the live stream of the conference so that I was familiar with the messages and stuff. But the really amazing thing about Shepherd's Conference is the time between the messages, fellowshipping with fellow pastors and preachers. I have made some of my closest friendships around a table at Shepherd's Conference, eating cream puffs and drinking coffee. Or fruit, or I mean, they have. You would not believe how well they treat the pastors. They have breakfast on site, everything from yogurt to cereal to donuts to bananas to whatever you're interested in, muffins. They have breakfast on site in the morning. Then between each session, they have snack tables. There's like 800 to 1,000 Grace Church members volunteer their time for 3 days to serve the attendees. And so there are refreshment tables all over campus. I can think of 7 locations where you can just go get a snack. Everything from chips and salsa to fruit to... they only did biscuits and gravy one time this week, which was sad. But they always have a biscuits and gravy morning, which is, oh, so good. And so it's just a great time of fellowship and just sitting around the table and visiting with friends. And as I said, I've made lifelong friends from just attending Shepherd's Conference. And to just be greatly blessed by all the volunteers. You may recall back in July, I snuck down to California for a wedding. Well, I met the young lady who got married, she was a volunteer at Shepherd's Conference, and her father, their family, dear friends of mine, because they volunteered at Shepherd's Conference. The families that I've stayed with, the Caldwells and the Butlers. I stayed with the Butlers this year. You know, if I had to pay for a hotel every year, I couldn't afford to go. Staying in somebody's home is just such a blessing, and getting to know the families. So I've known, you know, the Butler family for, I first stayed with them in 2013. And so I've known their children since, well, I've known Sally since before she was born, because the first time I stayed with them, Brenda was pregnant with Sally, and Sally's 10 now. So, you know, watching their family grow up, Dave and Christy Caldwell, another family that is married. I've stayed with one or the other of those families every time I've gone down, either the Butlers or the Caldwells. Good friends. Dave is one of my closest friends and love his family dearly. So, and just, I mean, these are guys that I text with all the time. I mean, I was texting with Fred on Saturday. I think Dave and I were texting last week. I mean, this is a constant people that I met at Shepherd's Conference that I stay in touch with all the time. And it's just wonderful people. I have an amazing number of friends in the music department down there, which just has worked out to be interesting. My dad was a music minister. And so I grew up, you know, with a hymnal in my hand. And so I'm always very comfortable in the choir room. And so that's one of the places that I'll hang out. I sneak through the choir room all the time to get into the church. It's a convenient door. But, you know, so I have friends in the choir and friends in the music department. And so it's always just a great blessing to be down there. I met in person several people who I've been friends with online who we've never met in person before. So that was a blessing. Got to spend time with, Owen Strand, who I had met in 2018, but never really got to spend any time with. Even though I take classes from him at GBTS via Zoom, this was, you know, one of the few times that we've had to be in the same place and actually sit down and visit. So, you know, just the blessing of the time together with friends. I thought it was, Mike Riccardi preached a fantastic message at the Shepherd's Conference. Even better than that, I would recommend the message that he preached the Sunday after at Grace Life. But he is a fabulous young preacher and a fabulous theologian. He's now a doctor. He's got his PhD. So Dr. Mike Riccardi. Well, I met Mike in 2011, which was his first year at Master Seminary. And, you know, before he had his MDiv, before he had his doctorate, before he was on staff at Grace Church, he's now a professor at TMS, as well as being on staff at Grace Church. And I think about all that, and I thought, you know, 11 years ago, I met this young man who I knew online, but I met he and his wife on the patio at Shepherd's Conference. And now he's preaching at Shepherd's Conference. And he's one of the brightest young theologians I know. I treasure my friendship with Mike because it allows me to text him theological questions if something's on my mind that I can't figure out myself. You know, book recommendations, whatever. Great guy. So yeah, lifelong friendships that I've made just going to Shepherd's Conference, and it is an experience that going to the conference the first time, even after watching the live stream for several years, was just such a great blessing. you know, I hadn't known what I was missing. I was all excited to hear these great messages in person, but then to get down there and find out that the real ministry to your heart is taking place out on the patio, out on Grace Walk, out, you know, in the book tent, which wasn't a tent back at the time. I think the first one, where was the bookstore the first year? They've only started using, I can't remember. I remember one year it was in the gym, but that was my second year. Where was it the first year? I don't remember. But they've always had, you know, all these major publishers. Now they set up a big top tent in the middle of the parking lot. And it covers most of the main lot at Grace Church. And that's where half of it, they have tables and chairs for eating and stuff. The other half of it's the book tent. And you have major publishers there, and you can walk around, and there's massive discounts, like 30 to 50% off the books, which for a group of pastors is phenomenal. Now, this Shepherd's Conference, for me, was a little bit different because this is the first Shepherd's Conference I've attended when I'm not actively in the pastorate. I'm not in the pulpit week in and week out. Whenever in the past when I would go, I was always searching the book tent for commentaries and such for the next book of the Bible that I was going to preach through. So I would go, okay, I'm preaching through Hebrews next, and I'd go through and buy a bunch of Hebrews commentaries. Or I'm preaching through John next, I'd go through and buy a bunch of John commentaries. And I'm not currently preaching through a book of the Bible because I'm not currently in the pulpit. So I wasn't hunting for anything in the book tent. Didn't actually buy a lot of books. I was on the orders not to bring back a lot of books. I think I mentioned Darby the Hamster, the fourth of her name, Long May She Scurry, has become an elderly hamster. And Mrs. Squirrel and I were not sure that Darby would still be here when I got back from Shepherd's Conference. As of today, she's still here. She just had some seeds from me, and I'm going to cuddle her later this morning. She is bustling around in her cage with enthusiasm, if not much energy. But because of the aging hamster and wanting to spend time with the hamster, Mrs. Squirrel spent some time here in my office. Now, you can't see it because of my carefully angled camera, and you'll notice I turned the AI off. I didn't like the way that was working. I turned the AI off, so we're back to our regular, normal camera view. But behind me, in front of my bookshelves, are stacks of books that I do not have room for on my bookshelves. And actually, out in the hallway, there are stacks of books against the wall in the hallway because I have a lot of books. And it's one of my projects to go through books, and some of them might get taken to the used bookstore. Some might get boxed up. I may rearrange my shelves in here. I've thought about replacing the short shelf behind me with a full-size shelf that I can put some more books on. But that would give me with less wall space, and I really do have some artwork I want to put up too. So my office is in flux at the moment. But she's sitting in here amidst my piles of books, and that's when she started texting me, "Don't bring home a lot of books." So I brought home the box of free books and less than half a dozen books that I purchased. So those will be added to my collection. So tomorrow, what I want to do... Oh, and by the way, they gave us... Not that I don't have several copies of it already. They gave us a hardback Legacy Standard Bible, same layout as the handy size. It's got two ribbons. It doesn't have a gilt edge because it's a hardback, but I tell you, it's one of the nicest hardback Bibles that I've ever seen. It's identical to the linen hardback Bible, the blue linen hardback Bible that they had back when the full Bible first came out and was available. It's similar to that, but with a black, almost a faux leather hardback. Very much suitable for pew Bible use, maybe. This one, of course, has the Shepherd's Conference logo because this was the freebie that they gave us. But it's a cover very, very similar to what you would see on a hymnal or a pew Bible. And I mentioned last week, the entire LSB Bible is now available on Accordance and on the free Accordance app, the free LSB app. And that link is also in the show notes. So if you're looking for the full Bible on your Accordance or and like I said, it's free, you know, so you actually get the full version of Accordance 13 when you download it. And when you register it, they throw in a few free resources. But then if you want to purchase resources, you've already got the base program. You don't have to buy the base program. So that saves you a little bit. So I encourage anyone who, if you do not have a primary Bible software that you use, let me point you to that and get the full Accordance 13 with the LSB. And there are free texts that you can download so that you would have different Bible versions available there. There are others that are available for purchase. So I highly recommend Accordance. That's the Bible software that I have used for years. It was recommended to me by James White. It's what he uses. So he was the guy that pointed me that direction. And when I decided I was going to spend money on Bible software, I was only going to buy one. I ended up going with Accordance because it works on both the Mac and the PC. My main desktop is a PC, but I got a MacBook down over here that I often haul with me when I need some portability. So I've been kind of rambling on, but that's what I do on Squirrel Chatter after we're done reading the scriptures. Tomorrow I'm going to go through the box of free books, and we'll just kind of discuss what they gave us. I haven't really looked through it. I was busy doing other stuff. It got stuck in my car and stayed there, and then came back home with me. So I will be popping that open tomorrow and go through that with you on tomorrow's Squirrel Chatter. Wednesday, again, will be pre-recorded. We'll be doing our Theology Thursday on Thursday as we look at paragraph 1 of chapter 4 of the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. And then Friday again will be pre-recorded because I got jury duty. So that is the week ahead on Squirrel Chatter. Thanks for being with us. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll talk to you later. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.